Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Sun Guy with you as well as QT here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes before we get into the guest today. If you're looking for wrestling tonight, WCWO in Indianapolis, Indiana, BWW in Kelowna, BC, ECCW in New Westminster, BC, PAPW in East Haven, Connecticut, PWF in Jeffersonville, Indiana, IWE in Brewer, Maine, AAW in Austin, Texas tonight, tomorrow night, FCW in Haleyville, Alabama, NEW in Jasper, Indiana, ECWA in Newcastle, Delaware, RPW in Dover, Delaware, IWR in Lewiston, Maine, NFW in Ironwood, Michigan, PFCW in Rockford, Illinois, ICW in Marion, Indiana, TOT Wrestling in Amarillo, Texas, HPW in Beaumont, Texas, DZW in Katy, Texas, ACW in Stevens, Pennsylvania, MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee, OPW in Nashville, Tennessee, SAW in Marion, Ohio, and a brand new company, FWF in Puyallup, Washington tomorrow, up here in our neck of the woods. Without further ado, I would like to bring our guest on today. He is a veteran of our sport. Manimal, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, since today happens to be your first time with us, we are going to lead you off with our first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Okay, you know what? It's funny. I was just talking about this the other day. I don't know exactly what, like, got me into pro wrestling, but what made me want to be a pro wrestler was the style of the late 90s, the edgy pro wrestling, the poly, no filter pro wrestling, Vince Russo with a big giant filter. That kind of, like, that's like what made me want to be a pro wrestler.
Now, when you're looking at ECW and some of the other promotions that were doing hardcore wrestling and that type of thing, was that what you wanted to do with your own career, or were you looking at wrestling and looking at it in terms of more of an athletic career that you could do and modify what you did to that, or was there, like, different elements that drew you into wanting to wrestle?
I think there were different elements. The athleticism, for sure. You know, something to stay athletic after high school, after, you know, like, playing, you know, high school football, high school baseball. You know, go after that, it's over. There's nothing really athletic. You know, I wasn't good enough to, you know, continue on with that journey. So it was something that after high school, that was definitely something I could do that was athletic, that it was something to stay, you know, in shape and you know, keep. But at the same time, you know, like, I mean, the angles, the fun, what wrestling in its purest form can be, like, how much fun that can be, how much, you know, I mean, like, as a kid, I loved, like, the Brodies and guys like that, and I don't think it was because of, like, the hardcore wrestling style. I think it was more, like, because they were different. They were so off the wall, because, like, the Manimal is definitely not like a hardcore, you know, like a hardcore wrestler or anything like that. You know, that was just, he's more fun loving, enjoy what wrestling is. And I think that also comes with time in the wrestling business. Like at 15 years, 16 years, 17 years, as you get, like, you appreciate wrestling more. So like the Manimal is more like that, like all those dues you pay and all those shitty miles and horrible paydays. And like the Manimal is the accumulation of all of that and putting a big fucking smile on it and enjoying it no matter what it is. Cause you know, like that's kind of like what the Manimal is. As far as character wise, it's so much fun, is like that someone who really enjoyed pro wrestling came up with a character like that, you know, like that's what. But as far as getting back to the question, I mean, I don't think it was hardcore wrestling. I just think it was like that edgy, like what every 18-year-old kid likes, you know, like sex and violence and drugs and rock and roll and all that shit, you know. That's like, I think, as much what it was as anything.
Obviously, with the style that you have had in your career and for being around for as long as you have, injuries are part of the wrestling business. I'm sure you've had a few pop up over the years. What's been some of the injuries that you had to overcome in your wrestling career?
Well, I'm just coming off several broken bones in my feet because of the barefoot wrestling. Like, I wouldn't really advise people to go out and wrestle barefoot. I mean, that's probably like the worst decision I made. But like, everything's healed up pretty good. It was like I had a neck injury. I had some feet injuries. But, you know, everything kind of heals up pretty well, and you just take them in stride, and when you can get back out there, you get back out there.
Ironically, recently in Oregon, we had a match featuring both participants wrestling barefoot.
Oh, let's make it a trend, you know, let's make it a comeback.
At least in Oregon it is.
What, it's a very backwards country up there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Another thing that is making a second wave as far as being trendy is death matches. We're seeing a lot of independent companies run death match tournaments. A lot of independent people are traveling all over the country to fill this niche type of audience's shows. What do you think of the deathmatch tournaments that are popping up a little bit more frequently these days on the independents?
Well, I mean, it's not my go-to as far as style-wise or anything like that, but if there's people going to it, then it's worth having. Because if there's people showing up for these shows, and if they're selling their pay-per-views and their you know, videos afterwards and stuff like that, if there's people going, and I mean, if they are popping up, you know, I mean, I saw California last week or a couple weeks ago, and Colorado a couple weeks before that, and you know, and Ian always has his stuff going in the Mid-South area, and Peter B. Beautiful runs something up in the Wisconsin area, Nick Gage is doing stuff with Game Changer, and you know, so there's a lot of it out there. You know, there's a ton of that style. It's funny that Combat Zone is trying to get further away from it than most of the other promotions that, you know, do it.
Oh, you've been in the business for a while, and someone with your experience has seen quite a bit. They kind of have a feel for what people like. A lot of times wrestlers will gravitate towards other aspects of the business as time goes by, in addition to wrestling actively. One of those roles is the role of the booker, the person that hires and fires, dictates who wrestles whom on a given show. Is booking something that you've ever given consideration to doing yourself?
It would have to be in the future, because I feel like, in my opinion, like, the booker shouldn't be on the show, just because when you book a show and you're on that show, well, look, nobody thinks you're better than you think you're better. You know, like, nobody thinks that, you know, like, would book you higher than you would book yourself. So I would never want anybody thinking that, like, I was booking myself in a spot to get myself over or whatever. So I wouldn't want to be on the card and book. So as of right now, like, being an active wrestler, I wouldn't want to book at the moment, because I wouldn't want to have to pull myself off the card, because that's where I'm at right now in life. But in the future, I could see myself booking or doing some kind of creative and helping people. I think the thing I could see myself doing the most is just helping young guys get better and be able to put that their own dressing or season or whatever you want to call it on their career to help them along, get better as a performer, probably more than just, booking shows.
Excuse me. Like we said, you've been around for a while and you've seen quite a bit over the years. One of the things that people that have gotten experience can usually tell is how younger wrestlers are going to do after a couple of years, just based on how they're picking things up, their attitudes, their professionalism, that type of thing. Based on what you're seeing on shows that you go to recently, who do you think are some of the best young talents out there that people should really pay attention to, because they're going to be the top guys in the near future?
Oh, cool. Like 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I was talking about guys like Willie Mack and Ricky Mandel and some of these guys that are finally starting to get a little bit of a push. So, yeah, this is a fun, I mean, like, right now, man, there's some good kids. There's this kid out of Colorado. I think he just recently moved to California that I really like, Royce Isaacs. He's a good kid. He's a good hand. He's going to be a really good worker. And then did you ever get a chance to see any of the NWL stuff?
Out of the Maryland area?
No, it was like Missouri, I think. Like Kansas City.
Don't believe I have.
No, there was a kid there. His name was Maverick on that gimmick, but he wrestles down in Texas as Moonshine Mantell. Kid, he's got something for sure. He's a real good talent. Man, as far as there's guys that I like. I like Jamie Hawley's gimmick a bunch. You guys are out there on the West Coast. I don't know how much Hood Slam you've seen, but the Rob Hands, I really like his character. There's a bunch of good talent out there right now, man. I mean, like, everywhere you go, like, every match is good, Like, I mean, it's just that level right now where that's kind of how the wrestling business is. There's a ton, but right now, like, the guys that I really like, I like that, yeah, Moonshine Mantell. I really like Royce Isaacs. Ruben Steele and his tag partner. I don't know what his tag, I forget what his gimmick name is, but they do a gimmick called the Horde. It's a tag team out of South Texas. They're a good tag team, real good tag team. I love my hooligan guys in Illinois, but they don't really need my plug anymore. They're fucking, they're world beaters anyways. I also, man, this guy never gets plugged. Like, he kind of gets lost, even though he's the owner of Hood Slam. Sheik Khan Abadi is, he's a tremendous worker, just tremendous. Man, and there, just the list goes on and on. There's a bunch of guys that are really talented working in the Northern California area. There's a bunch of guys in the St. Louis area right now. Jake Parnell's a pretty talented kid. And you know, I mean, there's just a long list. Of the, but those are the guys. Alex Herzog is another guy that I like watching wrestle. I like the Matt Nix kid up in Chicago. He's always been a really talented kid. Man, that's a pretty good list, right?
That is a pretty good list. Sounds like the future is pretty healthy.
I know, and these guys have all been around a couple of years, so I'm probably missing some of the real young kids that have just got a year or two in the business where they're just kind of finally starting to get good matches and get out there a little bit. So I'm missing probably a lot of those kids too.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know QT has questions, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a bit.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Manimal.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Not bad. Manimal, I saw your YouTube video entitled THW Manimal versus Jamie Hawley, and you were talking to Sun Guy about Jamie earlier. What struck me first in this match was the bone that you carried into the ring. My question
sure,
is, were you a big fan of Moondog Rex and Moondog Spot?
I was a big fan of those guys. That isn't where Bone came from, though. There was a guy that I used to really love when I was a little kid, and his name was Eric the Red. And this guy was like a big Norwegian Viking guy, and he carried a bone to the ring, and that's where I stole that from. Kind of took that, paid homage to him. I love the Moondogs. A lot of the Manimal came from that style of wrestler, but the bone actually came from Eric the Red, and he was one of my favorites when I was a little kid.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of wrestlers with Viking heritage, have you ever heard of a wrestler named Odwin the Viking? Odwin.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, I believe he's out of Utah or Las Vegas, the Las Vegas area.
Yeah, Salt Lake. We've run into each other. Yeah, we've run into each other before.
Now, when you say run into each other, is that literally?
Yeah. I mean, we had some matches, so we ran into each other at some point. But yeah, no, I do know him, and I've seen him around at a lot of the shows out there. Colorado, Utah, that area, Nevada.
Wow. Now, Odwin goes a legitimate, I believe, 6'8" and a half. I think he would tower over LeBron James by a half inch. How tall are you? It's kind of hard to gauge your height.
I am 6'2". 6'1 and a half, 6'2".
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I know that football is big in Texas. My question is, did you spend most of your life growing up in Texas and playing high school and junior high football?
Well, I did play high school and junior high. When I grew up just east of St. Louis, the first 12 years of my life in Illinois. That's where I, like, from the time I was born until the time I was 12. I had just turned 12, and we moved to Texas. So I spent those formative years of 12 through 18 in Texas playing football, yes.
Oh, okay. Can I ask if you played all 4 years in Texas of high school football, all 4 years?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What was your position and your weight as a freshman? And did you make it to varsity?
Oh, gosh. Oh, man. I don't know, bro. as a freshman, I played offensive line the 4 years, offensive line / defensive line, mostly offensive line. My freshman year, actually the way school is set up in Texas, if you got some time, it's the freshmen go to junior high. So unless you're some kind of remarkably gifted athlete, you probably spend your ninth grade just playing at the junior high. So I would say
okay.
I was 225, 230 at that time. Maybe a little more. I'm not sure. Maybe 250. But I was an offensive lineman.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Now, did you make it to state your senior year? State.
No, we did not. We did not. We got dumped in the first round of the playoffs.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, now I am on another podcast show called The Mike Allen Show. And Mike is the host of the show, and he does commentary at the high school level. And the team that he does commentary for are the Huddle Hippos. Have you heard of the Huddle Hippos from Texas?
I know where Hutto is, but I did not know that their high school mascot was the Hutto Hippos. No, I did not.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem. Now, Manimal, at any time, did you throw the shot put in high school in track and field?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, Manimal, in that match with Jamie Hawley, when you made your entrance, some fan yelled out, "O'Doyle rules." This obviously was in reference to the movie Billy Madison, where Adam Sandler had to repeat
amazing.
Grade 1 through high school. And I take it that you have seen this movie. And also, this movie had a character in it that played a wrestler named the Blob. Was he your favorite character?
No, I don't think so. I think my favorite character was the chick, right? The Billy was getting with.
Oh, Miss Vaughn.
Yeah, Miss Vaughn. There you go.
That would have been Veronica Vaughn.
Veronica Vaughn, yeah, you're right, it would have been.
Was one of your favorite scenes when Veronica Vaughn entered the school bus? And the bus driver was being...
I like how this has went to a line of questioning about Billy Madison.
Oh!
Dude, everybody loved Billy Madison.
Yes. Yes, I like that when the creepy bus driver was making a strange comment about Miss Vaughn.
Who was that creepy bus driver?
That was Chris Farley of Saturday Night Live.
I think you're right, yeah.
Now, I believe, based on what I have seen on that famous Saturday Night Live skit, The Chippendales Dance with Patrick Swayze, that Chris Farley would have made a great wrestler. Yes.
Oh, agree. Agree.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Manimal, in your opinion, does Billy Madison's, his third grade teacher, Miss Vaughn, bear a striking resemblance to Miss Elizabeth, wife of Randy Macho Man Savage?
Ooh, good parallel back, yeah. No.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, Manimal, to your knowledge, was your opponent, Jamie Hawley, related to past WWE superstar Crash Hawley?
Oh, 100% yes.
Oh.
100.
Wow, yeah. All right. Okay. Now, he was pretty much what I would call, based on my video analysis, a cruiserweight. I believe that he probably went in the neighborhood of 6 foot tall, 190 pounds, or maybe 195, which is about that cutoff, that transition from cruiserweight to heavyweight. Would you agree with this assessment?
I would not agree with your assessment, because cruiserweight is more like the cutoff about 220, 225, whereas light heavyweight, the cutoff would be more like 195.
Oh, okay, light heavyweight. You're probably right. Yes. Okay. Light heavyweight. Okay. Now, Manimal,
yeah.
Do you recall the building where this Texas Heat wrestling took place?
Oh, my God. Hey, it was fun, guys. How close, how long before it, I mean, come on. I thought this was going to be fun.
Oh, well, I often ask questions about the various buildings that I have seen. Yes. Well, okay, who does your strength, who does your bottom rope strength and stability test? That's a good question. Uh-oh, Zion, I think we lost Manimal.
Uh-oh, Manimal, are you with us?
I could only answer so many stupid questions.
Oh, okay, well, all right. How about this question? At the 3-minute and 25-second mark, the referee asked you if you had bitten Jamie's arm, and you had vehemently denied it. He threatened to check for bite marks. My question is, did you see the movie Meg, the movie about a great megalodon shark that is even bigger than a killer whale?
I can't even do it anymore, man. I appreciate it. It was cool. I thought this was going to be fun, man.
Oh, okay. Well, now sometimes I admit my philosophical questions can throw a wrestler off. I've got about 6 more questions, but in the meantime, for about a 10-minute break, or about an 8 to 10-minute break, I'll turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I'll write down some more questions. Yes.
Looks like he has bailed on his QT.
He what?
Looks like he's bailed out on us.
Oh, I can't believe it. Those were very good questions. Oh,
I believe he had
terrible.
A different...
Well, yes. Well, this has never really happened before. Most wrestlers stick out our entire show. I can choose to look at this negatively, or I can choose to look at it positively. I mean, Sign Guy, I've asked hundreds of wrestlers, you know, what their weight was and if they had wrestled Odwin the Viking. And, you know, questions about their opponent in the ring. Okay, well, this was a learning experience. Yes.
Well, all right. But now, QT, I mentioned it at the top of the program. There's a brand new company in Washington. First show is tomorrow. It is called the
Fight Wrestling Federation. Are you familiar with the Fight Wrestling Federation?
The Fight.
Well, Fight World Federation. My apologies. Fight World.
Oh, Fight World. No, I hadn't heard of this. For a moment, I thought you said Fife, like near Tacoma. Yes.
It will be near Tacoma. It is at Chief Leschi School in Puyallup. So it won't be too far from Fife.
Chief Leschi School.
Yes.
Oh, well, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans when this event will take place?
Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the bell time. It's at the Chief Leschi School, as I said. Brand new promotion. You'll see some familiar faces if you've gone to previous local events. Some of the people that will be there: the Flawless One, Frankie Flawless, Eric Wright, Richard Sincere, JB Moonshine with Paul Moonshine, Billy Pearl of 4 Minutes of Heat, JD Mason, and for the Fight World Federation Heavyweight Championship, you're going to see the Polynesian Headhunter Kalua versus the Natural Disaster.
Oh, the Polynesian Headhunter Kalua. Now, will he himself be barefoot in the ring? Kind of like Manimal.
Well, I believe he actually does sometimes wrestle barefoot. No word tomorrow that I know of if this is going to be, in fact, the case or not.
Wow. Well, Kalua. Now, what's his name? Kalua the Polynesian Headhunter?
Yes. Fans that were there last week in Spanaway at the PWF show saw him a number of times. Great, great talent. He is the current reigning heavyweight champion for the Fight World Federation.
Wow. I can only hope that Kalua, the Polynesian Headhunter, will go up against one of the wrestlers that is a huge rising star on my list, vastly underrated, Richard Sincere.
Well, Richard Sincere, I believe, tomorrow has Eric Wright.
Oh, okay. All right. That's another pretty good matchup. Pretty good. Now, Sungay, as you know, Richard Sincere harkens back, or at least his bloodline does, to a simpler time in the early 1900s when men were gentlemen. And they followed the Queen's very rules of boxing and wrestling. Men were very much gentlemen back then. Yes. Culture.
Well, there was the famous WCW match between Ric Flair and Lord Steven Regal that was fought under Marquess of Queensberry rules.
Ah, yes. Okay, Steven Regal, another man of culture and refinement that I find refreshing, very refreshing. It harkens back to like an earlier Triple H, who went to the finest blue blood schools of Connecticut. Yes.
Well, you do realize that before he became Triple H, he also was the tag team partner of one Lord Steven Regal in WCW.
I got to tell you, Sign Guy, that tag team there brought a touch of class and refinement to a sorely needing WWF. WWE, yes, refinement.
Okay, even though, you know, it was a WCW.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there was a hybrid crossover.
I'm not thinking there was at that point in time.
Oh, all right, okay. Well, I am very intrigued that Manimal chose to bail on us. We never had that happen before. This is a great learning experience.
What about Pat Rose?
Oh, did he bail also?
I believe he did.
Oh. Do you remember the comments right before he went off the air? Because I don't.
I believe it was maniacal laughing.
Oh. Well, sign guy, that could happen to anyone. As you know, we have had wrestlers travel up and down the highway. Maybe Pat Rose was laughing at a small kid in a car that made a funny face at him. That could be a funny face. Yes. I would like to think so. Who was questioning him at the time? Were you questioning him?
I believe it was you.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Zion, here's one of my questions that I was going to ask Manimal. Manimal, were you a big fan of Jimmy Snuka, the Superfly, who also wrestled barefoot, and he also did an occasional Fiji Island War Dance? Now, why would Manimals think that that would be a strange question or a silly question? Very legitimate.
Well, maybe because Jimmy Snuka was not in the movie Billy Madison.
Oh, okay. All right. I could see that, yes. Do you think Manimal was slightly off-put when I mentioned Norwegian bloodlines?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Norwegian bloodlines. Okay. Here's a question I was going to ask. Manimal, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith developed toe problems for his many years of wearing nothing on his feet but Beatle boots, the style of boots that John Lennon and Paul McCartney wore. My question is, when Aerosmith toured Texas, were you contacted by Steven Tyler, who most likely heard of your foot problems? Very legitimate question.
I think if he hadn't bailed before, he would have at this point.
Now, come on! I am taking interest in his foot problems and a possible connection to rock royalty. Rock royalty.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, how about this? Manimal, you mentioned earlier to Sign Guy about the bad paydays and the miles traveled. My question is, did you ever drive 300 miles to an event only to be offered to be paid in hot dogs by a commissioner?
That seems more legitimate.
A little bit more, huh? Okay, all right, very good. Okay, I'm just asking that because I often see Patty handing out paydays, and she pays pretty good, kind of like in the mode of a Don Owens.
Well, she did break in under Don Owens, as you recall.
I see. Now, Sign Guy, do you think Patty took it to heart when Don Owens said, always pay your wrestlers a fair amount? Do you think that would be something that Don Owens passed on to Patty?
It seems that way.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Okay. And I also had the question, Manimal, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest fans what Texas Heat Wrestling has on schedule for Halloween?
Well, we'll never know.
Yeah, okay. Now, we had the debut in Blue Collar Wrestling 2 weeks ago of a wrestler that was carrying a chainsaw, Leatherface. Or was it Leather Crop?
Leatherface.
Okay. Sangay, in your opinion, did Leatherface make his Halloween appearance a little bit too early, or is that a shoot character? Is he always like that?
He's always like that.
Oh, okay. Well, even on St. Patrick's Day?
Especially on St. Patrick's Day.
I was stunned at this appearance because I myself had never seen this wrestler before. My question is, how many times has Leatherface appeared in the ring when you were ref? Have you dealt with him before?
I have never actually refereed for him before. I was only on the one show with him in Portland.
Oh, okay. From what nether regions does Leatherface hail from? That's a good question.
I believe he is from Japan.
Japan. Well, now I guess they do have quite a few forests over there. Yes. I don't know what their logging practices are. That's my question or observation. The logging practices in Japan. Could Leatherface have been kicked out of Japan and told not to come back due to his logging practices?
No, he does have dates booked in Japan, so he definitely not kicked out of that country.
Okay. Do you see a possible matchup between Leatherface and Richard Sincere in the future?
Nope.
No. Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, Sun Guy, will you yourself be at Chief Leshy High School? Chief Leshy High School.
I do plan to go and watch the show, see what this new promotion has to offer.
Okay, very good. Very nice. Okay. Well, all right. Well, now let me see. That was about all the questions that I had for Manimal. Let me see the Aerosmith question. What Texas Heat has on schedule for Halloween. Something about an arm drag takedown at the 5'11 mark. Okay, well, I was going to ask if he was trained in MMA. That was a very good move that he did. Very good. Okay, let me see. Bad paydays. That was another question. Let me see now. Megalodon, the shark question. Very legitimate. Okay. Let me see. Do you recall the building where this Texas Heat Wrestling took place? See, now that was a very legitimate question. And he bailed on us. Maybe we should request him back. I believe he had a domestic issue going on at the time. Yes, domestic issue.
Possibly.
Can you yourself, Sun Guy, email or send Manimal a message and asking him back on the show?
I can try, but much like me, Brian Blair, I think maybe he's not talking to us anymore.
Well, I thought B. Brian Blair was one of our, I think at that time, I think that was our, well, okay. I'll have to go back and see what year we had been into the show when we interviewed. That wasn't that long ago. I consider that a high water mark of our interviews.
B. Brian Blair?
Yes.
I don't think he considers it a high water mark. He and Pat Rose probably get together once a month and just weep.
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess that's a possibility. Maybe my questions about the movie Billy Madison slightly threw him off.
Possibly.
Well, I certainly remember the character of Veronica Vaughn when she was getting on the school bus. Do you agree with my assessment, Sign Guy, that Chris Farley showed amazing agility for such a big man and that he could have been a potential wrestler?
Possibly. Be a lot different doing the skits that he did that were taped as opposed to being able to be that agile first time, every time, like you would be as a live professional wrestler.
Who do you think Chris Farley would match up well against in the Northwest, wrestling-wise? Would it be Coach Mike Jones? Or maybe even J.D. Mason?
Are you talking before he died, Chris Farley, or present-day deceased Chris Farley?
Well, before he died, yes.
Oh. Randy Zellers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Randy Zellers, yes. Oh, very good. Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, now, Sign, taking it in stride, that Manimal wasn't exactly, I guess he was enthusiastic. We'll just skip over Manimal. Who do we got coming up Sunday?
Sunday we have both Stomp and Steve and Meat. Same place at the same time for the first time ever. It's been both of their dreams in life
to do something together. This is their chance, their opportunity. It almost came to fruition on Star Wars Day. Unfortunately, Meat had a very serious injury and was hospitalized, didn't make it, but he is healthy now. He got the blood to stop from that cage match finally. Stompin' Steve, ready to go. So Sunday afternoon, Meat and Stompin' Steve achieved their lifelong dream of being on the same show at the same time.
In your conversations with Stompin' Steve, what attracted him to Meat? Had he been in video analysis of blue collar wrestling videos?
I believe going back as far as the Moonlight Tribe days of SCW.
Oh, okay. Moonlight Tribe days. Yes. Wow. All right. Very good. Oh, okay. Stump and Steve been in action recently.
He has not. I believe the last time he made an appearance in front of the fans was last year's HPW anniversary show, and we won't discuss that.
Oh, okay. We would. That's. I sense kind of like a sore point with you on this. Yes.
It was very sore indeed, yes.
Oh, okay. Boy, now I don't know. I'd like to see Bad Blood go up against Meat. I mean, well, he actually has, sort of. Yes, he has. But what Bad Blood did to you 2 weeks ago, has there been any explanation? Any explanation for his outlandish action?
No, I'm not sure the explanation. But QT, would it be your dream in life to see Stompin' Steve and Meat both dance to Justin Bieber together?
Well, based on what I saw, and even Leathercrop or Leatherface did show some dance steps, I would like to see Stompin' Steve do some Justin Bieber's dance steps. Yes.
Can you tell us your favorite Justin Bieber song?
Well, it's probably the standard Baby Oh Baby. Yes.
Oh, okay.
To my knowledge, Justin Bieber has not covered Rocket from the Crypt or any of the Ramones songs. That's kind of a disappointment. Yes. Maybe he will.
Well,
and I don't think he's ever worked with the boy band Menudo either.
Not to my knowledge. Would that be your dream in life to see Menudo open up for the Biebs?
I would like to see Menudo and Justin Bieber collect some books at the Free Seattle Library instead of appearing in the wrestling ring.
I believe you mean the Little Free Library, which, of course, is all over the world.
Oh, yes, the Little Free Library. I thought that was only in the Seattle area.
Nope, it's all over the world. In fact, I believe you've received books out of the Little Free Library in Shelbyville, Indiana. Perhaps you recall Hush Puppies.
Oh, is that where you got Hush Puppies from?
Indeed.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Wow, Hush Puppies. Okay, well now, Sign Guy, can you tell us about your latest Sign of the Times?
Episode 347?
Yes, please.
What would you like to know?
Well, where that was shot. Yes.
Well, it's undisclosed.
I know it was kind of undisclosed, and it had a lot of cinder blocks in this. Cinder blocks.
There were a lot of cinder blocks there. It retained its coolness.
Wow. Oh, okay. Now, in the height of summer, do the cinder blocks retain their warmth? That's what I'm asking. The warmth.
No, it still pretty much stays cool.
Wow, okay. Okay, very good. All right. Well, now, Shine, yes?
You might also have noticed it was also in a shower.
Oh, yes, the shower area, yes.
Actually, that was episode 346.
Wait,
no, I take that back.
Right.
I take it back. It was 347. The Moonbucks edition from an undisclosed shower. QT,
can you give us... Yes?
Can you agree with me that perhaps the Moonshiners will have to change their names to the Moonbucks?
Oh, well, there's always that possibility. Yes. Always a possibility. Change is pretty good. Just like presidential changes. Yes. I mean,
like when they went back to Gorilla Monsoon.
Well, that could have been a reference to him, yes. I just see a major change coming to Prince Akhenaten. Major change. Akhenaten, Prince.
How so?
Well, I believe that he's going to renounce all the culture in that region and move to, like, the upper Midwest. He's going to forget about his Mideastern roots and move to the Midwest.
Upper Midwest, so you're thinking, like, maybe Madison, Wisconsin?
Or Michigan, yes. Wisconsin or Michigan, yes.
I see.
Instead of raising dates by the Nile River, he's going to raise apples in, like, Appleton, Wisconsin.
That would be very nice.
Yes, yes. Or maybe wheat in Minnesota. Prince Akhenaten.
Oh, QT.
Yes.
Imagine if Prince Akhenaten were to ever face off with Diafula Dabashi.
Oh, wow. Now, that would be a very good matchup. And speaking of which, Diafula Dabashi, you know, he's from the Tacoma area. Will he be in the Puyallup area tomorrow? And if
you never can tell with Dabashi.
What's that?
You never can tell with Dabashi.
I hear that, yes. Yes, there was that infamous incident where he broke a beer bottle over your head. Very uncalled for. And you were offering him a very kosher pork chop at the time. Kosher.
It was a taco, and I accidentally put pork in it. It happened.
Ah, there you go. A pork taco, yes. Yes. Now, has he paid you a monetary sum? I heard that he was fined pretty heavily.
He should have been fined heavily, as should Bad Blood.
Yeah.
Last time I was at Blue Collar Wrestling, he got like a $3,000 fine for assaulting me.
That's true. Boy, that's a real big payday. Yes.
Now, QT, you mentioned the Sign of the Times episode 347, which I believe is in your top 345 favorite episodes. Am I correct?
I think that is, yes.
Now, I have read part of The Big Bam, the book I was currently reading. Not a huge fan of it thus far, so right here live on Turnbuckle, I will offer to you the book, yours to keep, if you want to read it.
Oh, The Big Bam? Bam?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that about?
It's about Babe Ruth.
Oh, okay. Why aren't you such a big fan of it?
I just wasn't a fan of the book. Just wasn't my particular favorite type of book. So I shall pass it along to you for your reading pleasure. Perhaps you'll read page 95 live on the air during the month of December.
Oh, okay. Let me write that down. Okay. Possible future assignment. Okay. The Big Bam, page 95. Possible. Okay. You know, now, Sign, there was a story I heard about Babe Ruth traveling on a train with his teammates, and all of a sudden, Babe Ruth came running down the length of this one car, not a stitch of clothing on him, and running after him was a woman with a gun.
I could see that.
Okay, that was page 95. Yeah, I wonder what would have led to anything like that.
Could have been a number of things with Babe Ruth from everything I've ever heard.
Yeah, he lived life pretty large, yes. Yes. I wonder how he would have reacted, Babe Ruth, if he was alive today and he could have seen the interaction between George Costanza and George Steinbrenner, owner of the Yankees.
I'm not sure.
What do you think Babe Ruth would have reacted when George Costanza tied the one of the trophies? I think it was a New York Yankee trophy, pennant trophy, to the back of his car and drug it around the parking lot of Yankee Stadium.
I don't know. No wonder Manimal was for words, though. Now, from what I did read in this book, Babe Ruth's early days, very murky, and a lot of things that people think they know, they found out maybe they didn't know. There's a lot of speculation on Babe Ruth's formative years. You'll learn that as you read more in the book.
Well, didn't he spend some time in a Baltimore orphanage?
Yes, and the amount of time and how regularly, one of the sources of contention. Nobody seems to have a set definitive time frame when he was there, how regularly he was there, that type of thing.
Maybe he was a time traveler or a shapeshifter.
That's not too likely.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just into time travel and shapeshifting because I am into the works of Carl Sagan and the guy in the wheelchair.
All right. Now, would that mean that your favorite movie is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country, because Iman played a shapeshifter?
Oh, well, that's I think that's a deciding factor, yes. And one of my favorite Star Treks was when they went to San Francisco to save the humpback whales.
That was four.
Oh, okay, number four. All right. Well, who's the guy in the wheelchair? It isn't Carl Sagan. The physicist.
I thought you were thinking of Stevie Jonak.
Stevie Jonak. Oh, the manager that you kicked one time and you knocked her back in her wheelchair at a wrestling event.
That's the one. I believe that's who you were thinking of.
Oh, okay. God, no. Oh, Hawking. Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, yes. Huge Big Bang Theory fan, yes.
I see. All right.
What Stephen Hawking and time travel has to do with Manimal, I'm not sure.
I don't think he knew either. He probably bailed out to go find out.
Yeah, that's true, yes. Yes, I was going to ask Manimal a Big Bang Theory question that relates to wrestling.
You were really determined to drive him off today.
I have never been one to drive any of our guests off.
What about B. Brian Blair?
Well, B. Brian Blair, I offered to get him front of the line privileges, like Paul McCartney.
See.
And Dave Griffin. Anyone of that stature deserves front of the line privileges. Even Leapin' Lanny Poffo.
Well, yeah. Well,
it was.
Our time is just about out. So thanks to Manimal for joining us for a while. We'll be back with you Sunday, Stomp and Steve, and Meat, both here together, thus making both dreams come true.